when you want an opportunity to hear from people all over the sports world, there's only one voice to trust to bring those stories to you. Here now with a special guest is Dan Tortora.
Here with Matt Garvey and also with Gary Stokan of the Chick-fil-A Bowl. And first and foremost, I want to talk about the kickoff game and how everything got started in the sense of preparing, figuring out the teams. Obviously, it's ACC and SEC, but what did you have to do to go into this and how long did it take?
We had originally started with the thought to create a second bowl game beyond the Chick-fil-A Bowl. But we found out that we'd have to do it prior to Christmas. There were a lot of teams that had exams in that December 21, 22, 23, so it didn't make a lot of sense. At the same time, the NCAA had legislated a 12th game, and so we took advantage of that and said, well, let's just start a bowl game at the front side of the season. And so in 2008, we had Clemson, who was number 9, Alabama, who's number 25, playing the game. Alabama upset Clemson and made the cover of Sports Illustrated, kind of put Alabama back in the spotlight for college football. And so Nick Saban's agreed to play in 09 against Virginia Tech, which is the game we have this year, again, that matchup, and then agreed to play again in 13 and 14. So it was a game that started as, the way we sold it, was great exposure for a team. We could give the AD tickets to sell, so that a lot of their fans could come, 31,000 tickets for each team. A great payout. And a national TV game against a ranked opponent in arguably one of the top recruiting bases in the country of Georgia. So coaches really bought into that. You know, we've had Les Miles, Nick Saban, Frank Beamer, two guys won the national championship, and one is the most active winning coach in college football, all agree to play in this, so they see that this game could be meaningful to help them during their season. We think the future of the game is even brighter because the relevancy of the game will take on a whole new level of intensity when the selection committee starts to pick teams for the playoff starting in 2014. So we're excited about the matchup we have this year with, you know, number 1 Alabama, defending champ, and Virginia Tech, who I think is going to surprise a lot of people this year. It's going to be a sold-out atmosphere in the Georgia Dome, an electric atmosphere. We've got Sheryl Crow, who's doing a free concert in Centennial Olympic Park. We've got our tailgate village built by Home Depot. We've got our fan zone presented by Coke Zero, where the teams actually walk through their fans to go into the dome and play the game. So, again, it's a celebration of college football at the beginning of the season. Next year, we'll have two games. Boise State and Mississippi will play on Thursday. Alabama and West Virginia will play on Saturday. And we'll open the new College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta. And we'll host the enshrinement ceremonies of the Hall of Fame during that same weekend. So, truly making Atlanta the college football capital of the world.
When you look at this and what it's become, what college football is becoming, saying, you know, having the bowl game at the beginning of the season, and I want to ask you both about this, having this atmosphere where you can have the bowl, but essentially you can have this initial game to start off the season, and, you know, some teams play, you know, from the bigger conferences, they'll just play a team that they can beat, you know, try and build their resume a little bit. This is a different experience, and you're showing people the highlight game, the signature game in the beginning and at the end. How does all of this come about? I mean, how did you have to sell this, and did you think that we were going to come to a point in college football where we could do something like this?
You want to take that, Matt?
Well, our vision, and really Gary's vision for this whole thing, has been to put the two best teams that we can get to agree to play each other in a game to start the season.
Yeah.
And so really, and not just Atlanta, but so that the entire nation can look to Atlanta as this is when college football starts. You know, that is the game that kicks it all off. You know, and Gary talked about the celebration and all the events that go around it. And you know, the goal has always been to get the best game of the opening weekend, you know, the game that game day has got to be at. You know, and we had game day for our first 3 years in a row. You know, no game day's never been to one game like ours for 3 years in a row before. and all eyes are on Atlanta for the start of college football season, you know, to really create that sort of milestone moment that everybody can look to and unify and get together that, hey, college football is here.
Same thing with you, Gary. What do you
think? Yeah, I think, you know, Matt hit on it. The key is to recruit the two best teams, put them in an atmosphere like the Georgia Dome, which sold out, and really kick off college football in a meaningful way. Unlike what you said, there's a lot of games that start the season with nondescript games. Well, TV wins, ESPN wins, because this does a big TV number.
Yeah.
You know, and it starts the season off. The fans win because they get tickets to attend this game. The fans at home win because they see a matchup with ranked teams playing each other. And again, the coaches win because they get great exposure and a great recruiting base. And because of the BCS structure, the team that loses this game really has all season to get back in the national picture versus losing a game like this at the end of the season pretty well does you in. You're going to lose the opportunity to go into the BCS national championship game. You win this game, and it elevates you in the polls when they come out in October so that you have the real head start on a lot of people to get into the national championship picture. So it works for so many different levels and for so many different people.
Your involvement and how long you've been with this bowl and just really creating this atmosphere around it, I want to start with you, Gary, and then Matt, I want to ask you too in this respect of why get involved, why create something like this, and why stick with it? Because, you know, sometimes you have an idea, you let it go, or a couple years later you give it to somebody else, but you have both stayed true to this brand. And Gary, I'll start with you as to how you build this brand and why you stayed with it.
Well, just, I mean, from a personal standpoint, I'm very competitive, and I like challenges. And we wanted to grow our brand to be something special, with always the vision of making Atlanta the college football capital of the world. So how do you do that? All right, you do things differently than what people do. So, yeah, we run an excellent bowl game. The staff, the volunteers do a tremendous job, and we've built a great reputation at the backside of the season with the Chick-fil-A Bowl. We created this kickoff game because we saw the opportunity and we wanted to be first. We wanted to do something different.
Right.
You know, we've been complimented by the likes of Charlotte and Houston and Dallas because they've followed us to create these kickoff games after us. So that's been nice to, you know, to have an effect to change college football to some degree as we have, to make the beginning of the season as interesting possibly as the backside of the season. So it came out of competitive urge just to be better than anybody else. And again, the staff and the volunteers, our board of directors have supported this financially, have just combined together, and we're blessed to be in a great city like Atlanta to do it all.
And Matt, with you?
You know, for me, I think the biggest point for me is just us, you know, being proactive and taking that leadership position in that space, which had been unoccupied for so many years. You know, everybody remembers the old kickoff classic game that they used to play in the Meadowlands. And then it, you know, it went away for a number of years. People forgot about it. And we sort of reclaimed that real estate, you know, and we reinvented the model of that game, made it better, you know, made it a celebration, made it a milestone event, you know, gave it national exposure, you know, did all of those things to give it that sort of BCS feel on the front end of the season. And you know, we reinvented it and made it better. And now, you know, and as Gary talked about, now you've got, you know, Dallas jumped on and copied us exactly what we were doing immediately. You know, a year later, now they've got a game. You've seen other people do it like Jacksonville. And you know, there's a lot of other people that, you know, the New York is looking at it. LA is looking at it. Phoenix is looking at it. You know, there's all these places that are looking at copying what we started back in 2008. And you know, so there's a lot of pride that goes along with that, I think. You know, being sort of the, you know, setting the bar that everybody is trying to get to. I mean, that's what keeps me going.
When you create, and not just with the kickoff game, but when you create a bowl and you create an image, how does this all come about? Preparation, the, you know, the meetings, bringing people in, figuring out Chick-fil-A, you know, if that's the right group to have. Gary, where does all of this come from, and how many people have to work on this staff to make it happen and to not only have it exist but groom it that it sticks around so that somebody like Matt can come on and help with this and continue the move in the right direction? Where does this all start?
Well, it really takes a combination. You know, when we talk about team and teamwork. Mm-hmm. That's kind of our business acumen, teamwork, empowerment, accountability, management. You know, you develop a team, you recruit the roles on that team. So Matt's an expert in communication, digital, social, media, etc. So we recruit him to that role, and then we empower him to take leadership strategically of that role and take it to the furthest level he can. We empower him, but he also is accountable to the rest of the team. Not unlike in basketball, where I grew up in and coached and played is... You know, when you recruit a point guard, that good point guard has to get the ball up the floor, start the offense, knock in free throws, call the defenses. You don't want him rebounding, you know, and you don't want your center bringing the ball up the floor.
Right.
So everybody has a role on the team. To get that person to accept that role, be willing to play that role, and then give them the opportunity, the accountability to play that role is important, especially with young people now. And so that's the way we manage the process. And We empower our volunteers. We have a small staff. We have 14 people in our staff. So volunteers become important. Your staff takes the leadership. And then your board needs to support everything, whether it be financially or leadership-wise. So it really does take a compilation of people and a lot of teamwork to make something like this come to fruition.
We look to the future and connection with the ACC and the SEC up to this point. Where do you go from here when times are changing, college football playoff is going on, the ACC is getting new teams in, they're making decisions with bowls? Where do you go from here? Is there a relationship with the ACC in the future? Is there a relationship with the SEC, or is it more open and more seeing what happens and what partners might arise?
I guess there's two parts to that answer. One is, we think that through the playoff group that we will continually see ACC and SEC games, because part of the selection committee's goal is to place teams geographically in the bowls. And so we think we'll see ACC and SEC. Secondarily, the answer is that we'll try and take the kickoff game and, when it makes sense, put ACC versus SEC in the kickoff games. So we want to continue our relationship because there's so many alumni of the ACC and SEC that live in Atlanta, and also from where they live in their marketplaces, they can drive to Atlanta rather easily. So we want to continue that relationship. It's been successful for us. We've sold out 16 straight years, and we want to continue that relationship with both the ACC and the SEC.
I want to ask you both this and start with Matt. With the ever-changing environment of college football, and you have a brand that's worked, you're selling out the stadium, the payouts are getting bigger for teams, your exposure is huge, you have people copying, as you said, what you do and trying to go off of what you do, you're leading in the community. As times change, how are you responding to these changes, and how are you learning to kind of mold yourself? Because in this business, you have to ad lib and you have to kind of be a chameleon when needed. So I'll start with you, Matt.
Oh, gosh. You know, I think the most important thing is to just, you know, you have the vision of who and what you want to be as a game, as a brand, as an influence on college football. As long as you are true to that, and that's sort of your guidepost, you know, you can't go wrong. You know, it is a changing landscape, and it's going to continue to change. It's always going to be that way. You know, college football is a volatile space. You know, so I think part of our job in being advocates of college football is to maintain a base, you know, a good foundation, be true to ourselves, be true to the sport, you know, maintain our focus on why we were created. You know, our bowl game was created originally as a fundraiser for the Georgia Lions Club. And to this day, we have maintained that connection with them over 46 years later. You know, and we continue to fund them. And charity has always been a big part of who we are. And you know, over the years, we've become the most charitable bowl game in the history of college football. And by a wide margin. I mean, it's not even close. And that is really, really important to us. So I think as long as we, again, stay true to who we are, maintain our focus on the health of the sport, you know, taking care of the student athletes, maintaining relationships with the schools and the coaches and the ADs, and the rest will take care of itself.
Gary, how about?
I can't beat that answer. I mean, Matt hit on it. Number one is you got to look out for the good of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, if you keep that in mind, everything else should flow from that. Secondly is, you know, our mission is to be the most charitable bowl game in the country, and we do that. Last year, $1.48 million of our budget went back into the community. That could have fell to our bottom line in profits, but we feel compelled to give back to the community that's made us successful through corporate support and through the tickets that are bought locally by the fans. And I think at the end of the day, if you can start with a goal and a vision and then create the strategies and tactics to meet that goal, you know, you're going to be successful in your execution. And we've done that. We're focused on what we wanted to be. And I think, you know, moving up to the playoff group, the success of the kickoff game, the success of recruiting the College Football Hall of Fame, all those achievements are because we started with that vision and the goal to make Atlanta the college football capital of the world.
When you see this college football playoff and that this is something that's changing and you're going to be involved in this on a rotating basis, this can be confusing to some people, and admittedly, even as a broadcaster, and this is your job, you know, seeing this change and who's in and who's out and when's it going to happen can get confusing. So how do you fit into this mix, and are you happy to be a part of the mix of a college football playoff, something that a lot of people have really jockeyed for and hoped for a long time?
I mean, we'll miss the ACC-SEC matchup on an annual basis because it's been so successful for us, and part of the reason why we were able to elevate to the new playoff, college football playoff, was the ACC and SEC helping us getting there. But we felt compelled to be a part of the playoff group because, number one, we'll host a semifinal game every 3 years. So either number one versus four or two versus three, we'll be playing in Atlanta. Secondly is we felt like over the 12-year term to have matchups of top 15 ranked teams coming into Atlanta every year was important to us. And then the next goal, as we mentioned earlier, is to get that national championship game to come to Atlanta. So obviously we will miss the ACC-SEC matchup on an annual basis. We think we'll still have those teams playing in Atlanta, either in the kickoff game that we can control or through the selection process of the playoff group on the backside of the season.
And Matt, what about you with this new system and the college football playoff and how you fit into this?
Well, basically, I mean, we're excited. Like I said before, this is the most exciting part of our history, and the best is yet to come. You know, basically, just to kind of give you the X's and O's, we will host a national semifinal game every third year starting next year. I think we're the third in the rotation. So in 2016, we'll host either a 1-versus-4 or a 2-versus-3 national semifinal game, and then we'll get every third year. And then we'll rotate with, you know, we're either playing on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, as all of the, you know, the host bowl games will for the playoffs. And, you know, and in the off years when we're not a national semifinal, we will get the selection committee that Gary talked about will basically assign us teams that will be generally in the top 15 each. Yeah. You know, so that's probably a little bit of an upgrade from where we are now. You know, and then when you start talking about the semifinals and then eventually becoming a host city for the national championship game, you know, which will come at some point during that contract. It's, you know, I mean, what's not to like? It's gonna be an incredible amount of fun. I think it validates what we've done over the last 15, 20 years in growing our game. Mm-hmm. You know, and Gary likes to tell this story. You know, we're the greatest comeback story of all time in the bowls. You know, because our bowl game literally almost went out of business in the early and mid 80s. and we have since resurrected it and built it up to what it is now, and you know, now we're a part of the top six bowl games in the country.
When you see this history that you've gone through with the Chick-fil-A Bowl and getting it to where it is right now, having that championship game, the national championship, is that within the next 12 years, like you said, that at some point, is that a sure thing that you will have the championship in Atlanta at some point?
Yeah, you like that?
Well, we obviously have to bid on it, and there's a lot of great cities that will host or have the potential to host the national championship game. We feel like with the new stadium, a billion-dollar retractable roof, state-of-the-art high-tech stadium coming online in 2017's football season, that will hopefully be successful in recruiting the national championship in 2018 or some in the not-too-distant future from that. And so at least once over the 12 years that we would be able to host the national championship game.
When you look at the Georgia Dome, obviously right now where the Falcons are playing, the NCAA Final Four was there. You talk about the new stadium being built. Does all of this help that the Falcons have been successful, that the NCAA Final Four has been in the city, that you talk about the College Football Hall of Fame, and I saw that as they're erecting it and building it when I was down there for the Final Four. Does all of this essentially feed into you in some way, even if not on purpose, that Atlanta could really help out this bowl because of everything that's already happening and because the spotlight's been on the city?
Yeah, I think success breeds success. You know, a lot of people thought, well, yeah, the SEC championship game, that's going to hurt the Chick-fil-A Bowl. It's going to hurt your attendance because people will want to go to the SEC championship but won't go to the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Well, the success of the SEC championship game has helped the Chick-fil-A Bowl. We've sold out 16 straight years, which is more continuous sellouts than anybody other than the Rose Bowl in the bowl business. So, yeah, I think to your point, the Falcons with a new stadium, College Football Hall of Fame coming online, us moving into the College Football Playoff, having the SEC championship game, 1-1-1 starts to equal 8-9 rather than 1-1 equal the 2. And that's the way it is in business. That's the way it is in sports business as well.
Look into your future and what you expect and what you want. As things keep moving in the direction that looks very positive for the Chick-fil-A Bowl and for this kickoff game, what are you hoping to accomplish? Because we talk about goals and then setting a strategic plan to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
What are the goals going forward? What's the plan going forward to make these goals happen? Start with Gary, and Matt, I want to have your input too.
Well, the first goal is to make sure that the College Football Hall of Fame, you know, gets open in 2014. We host the two kickoff games, Chick-fil-A kickoff games, successfully. We get the enshrinement ceremonies ingrained in that weekend. We host the national championship game in Atlanta. We get the new stadium open. You know, life, if you stagnate, you die. And so you always got to be competitive. You always got to challenge yourself. I like to say, you know, you got to get out of your comfort zone
mm-hmm.
and take some risks. You got to have a vision to do that. And we're still in our executionary phase of, you know, making Atlanta the college football capital of the world. We've still got some work to do. But we've got a goal. We've got a plan. We've got great staff like Matt and the team we have in Atlanta to make it happen. And so that's what we're going to endeavor to do.
Matt, I want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I think from the staff perspective, I think our goal has always been and will continue to be to run best-in-class events. You know, before we made it into the playoffs, our goal and our vision was to be the best non-BCS bowl game in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think our reputation and what we've done, you know, bears that out. You know, now that we're in the playoffs, then our goal is to run the best bowl game in the country, period. And that translates to all of our events, whether it's the bowl game or any of the ancillary events that go with it, the kickoff game, our Chick-fil-A Bowl Challenge charity golf tournament that we do each year in the spring. You know, all of those are platforms for us to lead by example in the industry and make sure that we are the first, the best, the longest tenured, the most invested, you know, giving the most back and the most of ourselves to make sure that we are best in class.
We talked a little bit off the air about reaching a hand across the way and helping somebody out, being a part of the community, giving back, remembering that relationships really do not only create but restore and keep that vision moving forward. You've helped the community through leaps and bounds and through a lot of hard work and determination and from taking of yourself and saying, instead of me putting this in my pocket or instead of putting this in my house, I want to give it to somebody else. What makes you both want to be that way? Because I feel that it takes a certain type of person to reach into their heart and use their mind and their heart, not just their mind. And I'll start with you, Matt.
Well, you know, that's just a part of our culture and our brand and who we are that I'm probably the most passionate about. You know, we take our charitable giving platform very, very seriously. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we're the most charitable bowl in college football history. And I'll give you an example. One of the things that I work on a lot is our academic mentoring program. It's a program that we've been invested in that was originally started by the National Football Foundation years and years and years ago. We are the only company in the country that funds that program for an entire city school district in the city of Atlanta. And what it does, you know, and we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to put these academic coaches in these inner city high schools to work with kids, you know, to keep them in school, to get their grades up, to encourage them to take college entrance exams, and then to help transition them into college. So we started doing that back in 2007. Is when we got involved with that and have been doing it ever since. And then we had further had the vision to create an endowed scholarship program that we have now linked to the academic mentoring program. So now we've got nearly $3 million in endowed scholarships at 19 different universities across the Southeast that, you know, will help pay for college for these kids. And that's just one example. I mean, there are many other things that we do and that we give money to and year after year. I mean, we're talking about long-term commitments to help improve people's lives. And we feel like that's part of our mission as a bowl game is to develop scholarship and football at every level.
Gary, you've been a part of this for so long, and you've worked in a lot of different angles of sports. On your side, being charitable, being a community guy, reaching out to somebody that's a stranger through what you do, what does it mean to you and why do it? Why be a part of this? Why try so hard to do the right thing?
Yeah, I think from my side, you know, growing up in the family I grew up in, my mother and father always taught me it's better to give than receive. So I had that in my upbringing. Secondly is through the experiences of my life, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at if people hadn't provided me an opportunity or given to me, whether it's a job or mentoring or tutoring, whatever. And then thirdly, I'm Catholic and Christian in Acts 20:35, where Paul says, Jesus said, it's better to give than receive. You're more blessed to give than receive. You know, that is important to me. And so when I had my own agency, there was always a charitable component tied to it. Anything that we did, we always gave back. And the same with the bowl game. You know, again, you can't get anywhere by yourself. You know, you need people to team up with. You need people to help you along the way. And so if you can give back in honor of those people that have helped you get to where you're getting, you know, it's a good feeling. And we all have the ability to give back with, you know, it doesn't always have to be money. But if you have the opportunity to give back, it's a good feeling to be able to reach out and help somebody that, you know, may not be as fortunate and blessed as you are.
I thank you both and appreciate you both taking your time. For Gary and for Matt, Dan Satora here, speaking on not only the Chick-fil-A Bowl, not only the kickoff game, but on the community and what you've done. I can't thank you both enough for being very honest and very open today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.